If you enjoy this podcast, please like us on Facebook and follow us on Instagram and visit our website at lifebetweenthevines.com.
Here in Livermore, we go back. We were one of the first commercial wine regions in California, I believe is what, the mid-1800s. Up until Prohibition, we were going strong, and that kind of knocked out a lot of production, and it's taken us a while to get back to the same levels.
Discovering and tasting wine shouldn't be a homework assignment. And we believe that the people who are closest to wine have the best stories. So open a bottle.
And welcome to podcast number 569. This week we feature Brent Amos, winemaker, partner, and general manager at Las Positas Vineyards in Livermore Valley. Brent Amos wears three hats at Las Positas Vineyards in Livermore Valley: winemaker, partner, and general manager. And in that case, I imagine harvest is likely a lot more than a 24-hour day for him. But Livermore Valley is the kind of place that's so laid back it almost doesn't seem like work. Almost. Las Positas offers a broad selection and focuses on handcrafted small lot wines. And those are the kind of wines our listeners love. And so do I. You can also hear Brent on our Vino Lingo segment defining the term bramble. So today I am at Las Positas Vineyards and still in the Livermore Valley, which has just been a great treat. I am here with winemaker, partner, general manager Brent Amos.
Yep. Welcome.
It's good to see you. Thanks for being here and being on the program.
Well, thank you for coming out. Appreciate you visiting our valley.
It's an extraordinary valley. It's beautiful. It's relaxing. Very laid back.
That it is, yep. Yep, yeah, we're kind of a little bit old school. We want people to slow down a bit, take their time, visit some of the different wineries. We have a lot of different variety out here and a lot of great wines.
That was the thing that fascinated me coming out here for the first time, just to see the varieties that were available. You guys grow just about everything out here.
And we're here on the property. We have 17 different varietals.
Wow.
We have the classics. We have, Chardonnay. We have Cab Sauv, the other Bordeaux, Merlot, Cab Franc, Petit Verdot, Malbec. But we also kind of specialize in more Iberian varietals. So we have Tempranillo, Graciano, Garnacha, Monastrell. On the white side, Albarino and Verdello. Then we also have a little bit of Roussan.
Oh, nice.
Rhone varietal. And what else do we have? I think I've only named a few of them.
Yeah, I'm 17. That's a lot to remember. Yeah. It really is hard.
So some Barbera, yeah. Sangiovese, then Petite Syrah.
How many cases are you guys producing?
We produce about 4,500 per year.
Okay. Small, but nice size.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And how many acres are you farming?
We have 20 acres of vineyard.
20 acres, 17 varietals.
Exactly. I'm not exactly sane.
Yeah.
I like a challenge. And when I came on board with Las Positas, that was kind of the first task was recreating the vineyard, being able to decide exactly what I wanted to work with.
When did you come on board here?
It's been about 10 years.
So you had a previous life in wine, obviously. Where did that start? Where'd you go?
Started when I was 20 years old. Took a cellar job up in Sonoma at Ferrari Carano Winery, and there for about a year. Then down to Fresno to finish up my degree, and back up to Sonoma for a couple years to work at Fritz Winery, which is also in the Dry Creek Valley.
Isn't it really a Fritz Underground Winery?
It is, yeah. So it's basically they excavated hillside, put in the building, and then backfilled over the top. So it is entirely technically underground.
Yeah, it's just always the image of it whenever I see their emails. It cracks me up.
Yeah, it looks kind of like it's like they buried a submarine.
Yeah, I think that's what they did, actually. They just
pretty much, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But anyway, I interrupted you. I'm sorry.
So I was there for a couple years, and then came down to Livermore in 2005 to work at Finestra Winery. Therefore,
and I was just there, by the way. That was my first stop.
Oh, great.
Yeah. So that was Lanny. What a great guy, an interesting guy to talk to.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. Yeah. You know, it was great, great working with him for many years. And
a unique space. So,
oh, yeah. 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 Yeah, a lot of history. You know, one of the original of the small wineries, still existing wineries here in the Valley.
Yeah. There's a lot of history here in general, going back to the 1880s. And so few people really realize how the wine industry in California does go back to that time. And to some degree, even earlier, it was a thriving industry in the late 1880s.
Mm-hmm. And here in Livermore, we go back. We were one of the first commercial wine regions in California. I believe it was the mid 1800s. Up until Prohibition, we were going strong, and that kind of knocked out a lot of production. And it's taken us a while to get back to the same levels.
Yeah. What made you decide to become a winemaker? You know, it's not for the faint at heart, for sure.
Right. Well, so growing up, grew up in Placerville, and my parents used to do a lot of wine tasting with friends from the neighborhood. And as a kid, I just loved going along, running around the vineyards, and just being in that environment. So when came time to graduate high school, I initially decided to do engineering. Went down to Cal Poly in Pomona, and quickly decided I didn't want an office job, so to speak. It just didn't quite suit what I wanted to do, and thought about it, and realized that wine might be something I wanted to pursue. So took a grunt cellar job up in Sonoma to make sure, and that's been doing it ever since.
Good way to go about it. I'm curious though, were you a wine drinker before that? Was it a casual thing? Or, I mean,
I wasn't allowed to drink wine before then. But I always liked to steal a sip of whatever my parents were drinking, and even as a kid, I enjoyed the taste. They didn't let me drink it per se, but I was able to taste it growing up, and it's just something it's a passion. Definitely a job if you're not passionate, if you're not in love with what you're doing, it can be challenging. But I like a challenge. I like dealing with different things every day, and couldn't imagine doing anything else.
Yeah, it's not exactly a day job.
No.
Yeah, it's a passion, obviously, but and because you're a partner, that makes you 24/7 when it comes to doing a gig. Yeah. In that particular role, as a partner, as general manager, you are wearing a number of hats, and not a lot of winemakers do, but when it comes to being organized and seeing the day-to-day stuff, I'm going through a long question here, and how that changes throughout the course of the year, I mean, it's really got to keep your head spinning.
Like I said, I need that constant challenge. I need to be busy. You said organization, you just have to keep everything organized and know what needs to happen when, be observant of everything going on at all times so that you can spot a problem before it occurs. And you just have to keep a level head and not allow yourself to get stressed out.
Yeah, good luck with that.
Yeah, well, fortunately my personality fits that, so yeah. I'm well suited to it, I guess you could say.
Oh, that's good. I mean, you do seem like it. I'm just curious though, I usually pose this as a positive or a negative, but I'm going to kind of go to the dark side here. What makes you crazy about the wine business?
That's a good question. I've never had to think about that.
That's good.
Yeah, true.
Yeah.
I can be a bit of a control freak, so there is an element out of your control with weather, harvest, only so many things you can control, but at the same time, I like the challenge. I like that I can't control. I like that it's not a recipe.
I've heard that more than once, needless to say. But it is interesting. It is a fact. I have not met a winemaker yet that wasn't a control freak. It's natural.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And you have to be. There's so many different things going on, so many things you have to manage all at once throughout the year. That you need to be controlling in that manner.
Sure. The only thing you don't really get to manage per se would be the weather, but Mother Nature, that kind of thing.
Yep. Yep. So you just have to manage how you respond to it.
Yeah, exactly. So you've seen a lot of change, obviously, here in Livermore. What would you say is the big thing you'd like to express to people about why they should come here? What makes it interesting? Obviously, you guys are making really great wine, and the value is exceptional for California. But what would you bring up as a major point for people?
Well, it's, you know, as you mentioned, the wine quality, I think, is, you know, it's world-class. Maine people don't know that. We're kind of an undiscovered region still, though definitely gaining more and more recognition, and more and more people are learning that we're here and what we're doing. But I think it's mainly the welcoming feel of Livermore. You know, everyone here is happy to see you when you come visit.
It's a very friendly place, yes.
Very much so.
Yeah, I felt very welcomed and very comfortable being here, which is great.
Well, good. Glad to hear it.
Yeah. There's been a lot of change here in the time you've been here.
Mm-hmm.
How do you see that?
Right. So being in the Bay Area, land prices are insane. So it is very hard to get your foot in the door here and establish a property, a business. So that's the big challenge for anyone, you know, wanting to produce wine in Livermore. And then the housing aspect, you know, your employees being able to afford to live here.
I can't even imagine. Although there is a lot of condo-style housing apartments, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And they're nice looking. It's, you know, it's such a nice looking area. It's not too hard to get around.
Right. And there's a lot of growth, you know, with our downtown area. You know, Livermore's constantly improving.
Downtown was awesome. I was just blown away by how lively it was. A lot of outdoor eating, a lot of interesting places to go, and a good-sized area, too, which surprised me.
Yep. Yeah, a lot of, there's a lot to do, and, you know, we're very fortunate. Our, you know, local population here, they love to support local, you know, restaurants, you know, stores, be it antiques, clothing, wineries, breweries. You name it, they're passionate about Livermore.
Yeah, that's great. Good to be that way. Just to go back to wine, I wanted to ask you before, and it kind of slipped by me. Do you do sparkling at all?
We do not produce the sparkling. We do contract a sparkling, have one made under contract, just because, you know, we want to have something, sure, have it on the menu. In the future, I'm hoping maybe this year, if everything aligns just right, I'm hoping to start making some of our own. It'll be small lot production, definitely.
Sure, but to do full production for something like that obviously is a huge investment. It's not just obviously making still wine.
Right. Yeah, huge investment both in equipment if you're looking to produce more than, you know, 50, 60 cases, but also just in the time, the labor that goes into it.
Yeah, exactly. Now, I know for someone like you, again, wearing these three different hats, there's no such thing as probably a typical day. And even as a winemaker, there really isn't. But we're not at harvest. We're not near it. But things are starting to happen. You know, what is a typical day like for you?
As I said, yeah, there's no typical day. But so I guess you could say this is our slower time, or at least on the production side. So right now, working on blends, getting ready to do some bottling. We'll bottle some wines on Friday, or in a couple days. So working on finishing up those wines, working on, you know, taking care of the wines that are in barrel for next year's bottlings. Vineyard, you know, I'm out in the vineyard at least once a day, just checking on the growth of the vines, checking on irrigation, making sure everything is moving along how it should. And at the same time, I'm, you know, carpooling my kids around and various activities and all that. So,
how many kids you have?
Two kids.
Nice. That's enough to keep you busy, though.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. But the idea of spending days in the vineyard, I will honestly admit to being envious of that.
I love it. So,
how can you not?
Yeah. Yeah, it's whether it's, you know, cold and raining or, you know, hot and dry, I still want to be out there.
Yeah, you are in the middle of Mother Nature.
Exactly. Yep. Yeah.
So this may take you a moment to think about this, but every now and then I like to ask a question of what's the craziest thing that's ever happened to you, whether in the cellar or in the winery, and I know these things happen.
I guess I remember back in, I believe it was 2000, 2003, 2004, when I was up in Sonoma, Harvest, we were, you know, all ready for, you know, a nice slow start to the season. We were going to get about 5 or 6 tons of Pinot. And as we're setting up the equipment, the winemaker comes in and says, oh, by the way, we're getting all of it. So that day, instead of just 6 tons, we had, I think it was 60 tons.
Oh, my.
So, and that season was a very condensed harvest season. We were, I think it was done within 4 weeks, start to finish picking. And, you know, we were there working 20, 23-hour days.
I can't even imagine that. Yeah, you certainly weren't going home, were you?
No. No, you know, the some of the employees, they were popping tents on the property and, you know, filling macro bins with hot water to bathe. And
I don't know if I want to be in a tent with the occasional snake wandering on by, but, you know, yeah. That might be a little bit of a challenge.
Yeah. So that was definitely a challenging year, but I still loved it. You know, that just shows the level of insanity of us winemakers.
Yeah. Well, there is that. But again, passion drives you.
So, right. Right.
And when that happens, you got nothing to say.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You good days, bad days. There's no different.
Yeah,
it's always a good day.
So. So who are your influences, or who would be your mentor? You know, somebody you look up to, that, or just simply as a winemaker that you've thought of very highly that you would say, yeah, that's the way I'd want to do things.
Well, really, it's more, I guess. Style in general, you know, stylistic choices. I appreciate a lot of different, a lot of different winemakers have done over the years. But for me, I've always, I trended towards more elegance in wines, always elegance over power. I want a complete wine, you know, more structure, acid, all needs to be there, all needs to be working together in harmony.
So tell me about the owner here at Las Positas. Who are the owners or owner and a little bit of their background?
Yeah, so the Meyer family, husband and wife, they started the winery. It's been about 12, 13 years ago now. They initially purchased vineyard property here in Livermore. Replanted what was there because they wanted the vines to be better suited to the climate, the soils, and so they brought in Tempranillo, Petite Syrah, Barbera, Cab as well. I came on, you know, about, like I said, about 10 years ago. So I wasn't the first winemaker, but you know. Came on, and I had met them over the years as they've, you know, this valley is very collaborative, I guess you could say.
Sure, that's
you
what I've got.
We all work together. We're all happy to help each other out, and, you know, we all try and get together whenever we can just to hang out, share some wine. So I had known Lisa for a few years when this opportunity came up. And, you know, they're involved in the day-to-day. Lisa is a retired accountant, and so she manages the books, and Lothar's has a history in tech, running companies in tech field. And so, you know, they basically know how to run a business and, you know, how to keep the books where they need to be.
Pretty helpful to have that experience. Yeah.
And then I bring in the production side, the winemaking side. So we're a good team. We work well together and enjoy working with them, and I think they enjoy working with me.
Well, 10 years. Either that or they're just good at ignoring you. What are the other?
Exactly, yeah.
Not a polite way to put it, but
yeah.
So I have a particular favorite question I like to ask winemakers, and you're more than welcome to take some time to think about it. It can be a challenging question. I'm sure you've done plenty of media. You get to talk to people all the time. What's the one question that you've never been asked that you would like to be asked?
Huh. Yeah. For me, it's I want to talk about the wine and, you know, the business, what we're doing. And I don't usually talk much about myself, and that's more how I want it. So,
this is why I'm here to put you on the spot.
Yeah, I can't really think of anything that's
fair.
I haven't been asked.
Yeah. So, you know, many wineries in different areas will do, obviously, food and wine or whatever. Do you do anything like that here?
Yeah, actually, we basically have a full commercial kitchen on site. So we offer a number of tapas-style foods from, you know, empanadas, you know, charcuterie plates, flatbreads. Our AGM and taste room manager, he's a chef by trade.
Oh, that's
and
nice.
And so, you know, Kurt Pipes, he does an excellent job with the food, designing the menu. We do a lot of wine club events, food-specific, where we're pairing specific foods. You know, we're always doing our wine club release parties where we're creating a brand. Kurt creates a brand new menu for each one.
So for our listeners who'd like to maybe come and visit and taste some wine or maybe grab a bite to eat, is this do you need to make a reservation? Can you just wander on in? How does that work?
Well, reservations are recommended. But we do allow drop-ins as we have space. We're open Friday, Saturday, Sunday for regular tasting hours. Then Fridays and Saturday evenings, we have concerts. Food's always available. Anytime we're open, that's been a goal of ours. You know, years ago, Kurt and I have had this kind of vision of what we wanted the winery to grow into. And a couple years ago, once COVID set in order for us to open after COVID, we had to serve food with wines. That allowed us to kind of jumpstart what we envisioned being a couple years away still.
That was a California thing, if I remember correctly, wasn't it?
Yes, it was, yeah.
I'd forgotten all about that. Interesting how you just brought that back in my head.
So we were very fortunate that we were able to do that. Because before COVID, we were also doing weddings on the property, which was great early on. But as our wine business grew, it just, they didn't work well together. They got in the way of each other.
Yeah, I can see that.
And so we were transitioning away from the weddings. And then once that happens, the plan was to, really ramp up the food service and having nice seated, kind of slow down tastings and food and wine pairings.
Sure. That's a good idea. I'm going to go back to the question I did forget a while ago. Kind of dialing back to 2020, all the fires going on, specifically north of here, did that have any effect on you at all or your vintage?
We were very fortunate that we didn't have any smoke taint in our vineyard. It did affect our yields that year. So basically, because there was so much smoke higher up in the atmosphere, it blocked a lot of the sunlight. And so we had to drop a lot of fruit to allow our crop to ripen, because it just wasn't getting the sun that it expected and needed that year. We did have some concerns over smoke taint, but I was checking throughout, and we were fortunate that most of the fires were far enough away that by the time the smoke drifted our direction, a lot of those volatile compounds had gone away. So to speak, had broken down. Also, most of the smoke stayed relatively higher in the atmosphere. Sure. I think overall, Livermore, very few vineyards had to deal with smoke taint. I know there were some that weren't picked due to fears of taint.
Sure, totally understandable.
But we lucked out for the most part that year.
Yeah, you're the first person I've asked that question to. You bring up an interesting point, though, with what's been going on the East Coast. We've experienced it, and I'm in Wisconsin and Milwaukee, mm-hmm. and we've had the...
The Canadian fires.
Yeah, it's not anywhere near as bad as the East Coast, but I've never had anything in my breathing to bother me, and it's bothered me just a little bit. And we've had the red sun. Boy, the sunsets have been amazing. And
oh, yeah.
The moon has been crazy, But really, I did not consider the idea of sun not getting to the vines. And I kind of imagine they're going to take a beating on that this year.
And all you can do is kind of reduce your crop load so you allow the rest, so you can actually get at least a smaller but good quality crop.
Is that more a case of dropping fruit or?
It depend on when in the season it occurs. But for us, those fires were kind of in the middle of harvest, essentially, or right at the beginning of harvest. And so at that point, we had to, we were able to drop fruit for most of the stuff to allow it to ripen. Fires going on right now, it should be early enough in the season that you may not, they may not have that issue, though it could be that the vines aren't gaining enough sun. They may not set as much fruit
sure.
as they otherwise would.
And most importantly for our listeners who'd like to learn about you online, what is your website?
www.laspositasvineyards.com.
Great. Brent, thank you very much for taking the time today. I appreciated you being here.
Great. Thank you. And thanks again for coming out.
Learn more by visiting laspositasvineyards.com. Thanks for listening. Subscribe to the podcast at lifebetweenthevines.com or sign up to our YouTube channel. You can also follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Life Between the Vines comes to you from Fifth Floor Recording Company in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Produced and edited by Ray Pfister. Our host is Kay Pascoff. Our web geek is Dan Gisha. Original music by Ray Pfister. Copyright 2023.